So our brother Andrew is going to be preaching on Joshua chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading from verses 20 through 22. So if you'll turn with me to your Bibles, Joshua chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. So when the men of Ai looked back, behold, the smoke of the city went up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that. For the people who fled to the wilderness turned back against the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had captured the city and that the smoke of the city went up, then they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. And the others came out from the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. And Israel struck them down, until there was left none that survived or escaped. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him near Joshua. The word of God.
Good morning, Wardam Church. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. Today is a celebration. It's a celebration for this church. VBS has just completed. The seeds were planted. It was a great time of bonding and test as well. If you get to preview the things that went on behind the scenes, all the tears, the sweat, the dynamics behind the scenes, you will be amazed of how big of a test it was. Because the enemy doesn't like it. The enemy doesn't like it when we planted seeds of truth in God's children. So it seems like an inopportune time to talk about being ambushed, right? Or is it? When was the last time you felt ambushed? The feeling of being ambushed is when you're teaching kindergartners and first graders, and then the first graders told you, do you mind if I turn this off? It kind of, I'll just.
Check, check. There you go. All right, thank you. It's when you're teaching the kindergartners and the first graders, and then the first graders ask, I have a question. Who created God? And then the other one, the other first grader says, I know, is when all the spirits get together and then form a force that created God. That's when I felt ambushed. Or when the same first grader asks, I have a question. And this is really her question. There isn't enough people from Adam and Eve to make all these people here. I felt ambushed. Ambushed is when, being ambushed are the key events in Joshua 6 to 8. Jericho was ambushed by Israel, and then Israel was ambushed by Ai. And Joshua was ambushed by Achan's treachery, and Ai was ambushed by Israel. So this is 6, 7, and 8. This is Kenna. So one day, Kenna was sitting on the small hill right there by the parking lot, and then she said, I saw a bee, and I swatted it. Then all of a sudden, the kids in her group started to swarm her and piled on top of her on the hill and start tickling her and things like that. And she said, it all happened so quickly, I didn't know what happened. What did I do? What did I say to warrant such treatment? So life is full of ambushes, some small, some bigger than others, but life is full of it. Death in the family, affairs, loss of a job, loss of dear ones. It's just It's tough. It's really tough. So this is what happened to the Israelites in Joshua 6. So that's the Jordan River, and that's the estimated place where they just cross. They cross into conquering Canaan. So Joshua 6 is about Jericho. Jericho, you know, went around the circles 13 times, and then the wall came tumbling down, so on and so forth. So again, it's like us, right? Water Dam has completed the building project, and then Andrew finished seminary, and then Dan is hired, and then Dan is going to seminary, and then Scott is hired, and then Meredith is hired, and then we just wrapped up VBS. We're firing on all cylinders, right? We're firing on all cylinders. We're at the top of the mountain. Our Jericho wall just came tumbling down, and this is where we are. So in essence, this is a very opportune time to talk about Joshua 7 and 8. So let's review a little bit. If you open up with me, Joshua chapter 7. Pastor Jack spoke about this a week ago, and it was such an important sermon. It was such an important sermon, and I felt this will paint the background to Joshua chapter 8. We cannot read Joshua chapter 8 without understanding deeply what Joshua chapter 7 is about. So I'll start with verse 1. But the Israelites disobeyed the command about the city's riches. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, stole some of the riches, and the Lord was furious with the Israelites. Disobedience led to the Lord's fury. It's true then, it's true now. Disobedience led to the Lord's fury. It is true then, it is true now. The next one, verse 2 and 3. So Joshua sent the men from Jericho to Ai, which is located near Beth Aven, and instructed them, go up and spy on the land. So the men went up and spied on Ai. They returned and reported to Joshua, do not send the whole army. About 2,000, maybe 3,000 men are adequate to defeat Ai. Don't tire out the whole army, for Ai is small. So about 3,000 men went up, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai killed about 36 of them and chased them in the front of the city gates all the way to the fissures and defeated them on the steep slope. So verse 4 and 5, underestimation led to ambush. Not all underestimation will lead to ambush, but this one did. So they went up, the spy went up and he said, they don't have too many men. 2,000 to 3,000 of the army, it was good enough. So Joshua had 30,000 to 40,000 men with him. So 2,000 to 3,000, about 10%. That'll be enough. And then verse 6 to 9. Joshua tore his clothes, prayed to the Lord. Why did you bring these people across the Jordan? If only we had been satisfied to live on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, why can I say now that Israel has retreated before its enemies? Ambush, the feeling of being ambushed, often leads to us to feel grief and to question our identity. I felt that way when I was laid off from my job of 17 years. We spent 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours of the day working. And when that's taken away from us, you feel a little bit lost, a little bit questioning of the identity. Same thing when your loved ones are not with you anymore. That feeling of grief, that feeling of being ambushed is real. Folks. And it transitioned into the turning to the Lord, right? So from verse 10 to 19, the Lord responded to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying there face down? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenantal commandment. They have taken some of the riches. They have stolen from them and deceitfully put them among their own possessions. The Israelites are unable to stand before their enemies. And I will no longer be with you unless you destroy what has contaminated you." Following on verse 14. "In the morning, you must approach in tribal order. The tribe of the Lord selects must approach by clans. The clan the Lord selects must approach by families. The family the Lord selects must approach man by man. The one caught with the riches must be burned up along with all who belong to him, because he violated the Lord's covenant and did such a disgraceful thing in Israel." And then the bright early in the next morning, Joshua made Israel approach in tribal order, and the tribe of Judah was selected. This is big. If you remember back in Exodus when Jacob blessed his children, the tribe of Judah, in the order of pedigree, has a pretty high pedigree. The scepter will not depart from Judah. This is huge. Can you imagine being there? And then the tribe of Judah was selected. The gasp, the wonderment. He then made the clans of Judah approach. The clan of the Zerahite was selected. Because Zerah means glowing. He made the clan of Zerah approach, and Zabdi was selected. Because Zabdi meant gift or dowry. He then made Zabdi's family approach man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah. Carmi's name meant vineyard. And if you imagine, all of them were staying in the desert, right, in the wilderness. And then Zabdi had a son named Carmi, vineyard, plantation. This is a special child. But then Carmi had a son they named Achan, trouble. He who troubleth, the troublemaker. So Joshua said to Achan, "My son." So I recently got into Top Gear again, Top Gear UK. And then the new host, they're Irish, right? They use the word son a lot. It's a term of endearment. So this is the same term of endearment, like my son. Honor the Lord of Israel, give him praise, tell me what you did. This is big, like this finding of sin in God's eye. I mean, can you imagine all these people who went across and then they just turn it upside down. They just turn them upside down. Like finding a needle in a haystack, tribe by tribe, families by clan by clan, families by families. It's a big deal. And then verse 20 to 23 came the late confession. Verse 21, "I saw among the goods we seized a nice robe from Babylon, 200 silver pieces and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. I wanted them. So I took them. They are hidden in the ground right in the middle of my tent with the silver underneath." And then verse 24 to 26 came the terrifying justice of God. "Then Joshua and all of Israel took Achan along with the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, ox, donkey, sheep, tent, and all that belonged to him and brought them to the valley of disaster. Joshua said, 'Why have you brought disaster on us? The Lord will bring disaster on you today.' All Israel stoned him to death. Then they erected over him." Remember, they didn't bury him. They erected over him a large pile of stones. It remains to this very day, and the Lord's anger subsided, so that the place is called Valley of Disaster. Valley of Achor, to this very day. Imagine we as a clan experience something like this, the purging of a sin, the purging of a member of our community. How would you feel? But then came the restoration from the Lord. 8 verse 1. The Lord told Joshua, "Don't be afraid and don't panic." How many times the Lord have to say to his people, "Do not be afraid"? I tried to do the count. I couldn't. There's all sorts of forms. Be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. It's all over the place because, in essence, we are very fearful people. When they went up to Ai with the 3,000 men, 36 were killed. 36 people were killed, and their courage melted like water. 36. Well, maybe because they have the bad intel. Don't worry, there's not many men in Ai. But maybe the men of Ai that day, when they spied on it, they went on a retreat or something like that. Because, you know, they have around 6,000 to 12,000 people in Ai. And after 36 was killed, their courage melted like water. And after that, Achan was stoned, and his entire possession and family burned. And the Lord came and says, "Do not be afraid and don't panic." Following along, "Take the whole army." So this is the Lord. The Lord says, "Take the whole army now and march against Ai. See, I am handing over to you the king of Ai along with his people, city, and land. Do to Ai and its king what you did to Jericho and its king, except you may plunder its goods and cattle. Set an ambush behind the city." So there comes the direction, the promise. You are going to be victorious. I am going to hand over Ai to you and the Israelites. Set an ambush behind the city. And then Joshua, from verse 3 to 18, executed the battle plan. So it goes something like this. So they were in Jericho, right? And then they went up the hill. The topography map says Ai is at the top of the hill. So this is when the main Israelite forces pitches battle versus Ai. So imagine that large blue triangle. 30,000 men, right? So verse 3. "Joshua and the whole army marches against Ai. Joshua selected 30,000 brave warriors and sent them out at night. He told them, 'Look, set an ambush behind the city.'" So there's a small ambush prepared behind the city. And this is where we saw the quality of leadership that Joshua had. Right? He said, "I and all the troops who are with me will approach the city. When they come out to fight us like before, we will retreat from them. They will attack us until we have lured them from the city. For they will say, 'They are retreating from us like before.' We will retreat from them. Then you rise up from the hiding place and seize the city. The Lord your God will hand it over to you. When you capture the city, set it on fire. Do as the Lord says. See, I have given you orders." He gave out orders based on the Lord's authority. That is the kind of leader Joshua was. But not only that, Joshua sent them away, and they went to their hiding place west of Ai, between Bethel and Ai. Joshua spent that night with the army. If you pay attention, the key words in early in the morning, early in the morning, early in the morning, that's what the kind of leader Joshua was. And he stayed with the army. He stayed with the army. And verse 10, "Bright and early in the next morning, Joshua gathered the army, and he and the leaders of Israel marched at the head of it to Ai. All the troops that were with him marched up and drew near the city. They camped north of Ai on the other side of the valley. He took 5,000 men and set an ambush west of the city between Bethel and Ai. The army was in position. And then that night, Joshua went back into the middle of the valley." So he sent army, said, "Go over there." But then he went with them. And then he set them up But then he went back. He went back with the main forces. And then it happened. So the king of Ai saw the main force, and then they engaged the Israelites. And then they pretended to retreat. And of course, true to the nature of Ai, says, let's pursue them. So pursued. And then at that time, the ambush struck the city, set it on fire, and then the Ai forces saw, and then they tried to flee, but they couldn't. And then the men who pretended to retreat ambushed them until there were no more and advanced towards the city. So the restoration from the Lord. Verse 19 to 27 is a victory. When he held out his hands, the men waiting in ambush rose up quickly from their places and attacked. They entered the city, captured it, and immediately set it on fire. When the men of Ai turned around, they saw the smoke from the city ascending into the sky. They were so shocked, they were unable to flee. And then verse 27. But Israel did plunder the cattle and the goods of the city in accordance with the Lord's orders to Joshua. Joshua burned Ai and made it permanently an inhabited mound. He hung the king of Ai on a tree, leaving him exposed until the evening. At sunset, Joshua ordered that his corpse be taken down from the tree. They threw it down at the entrance and erected over it the large pile of stones. And again, on verse 28 to 29 came the terrifying justice of God. Do you remember when Achan was punished? They erected a large stone, pile of stone over him. Same thing with the king of Ai. And then verse 30 to 35 came the memorial and the witness. Joshua built an altar for the Lord, God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded the Israelites. As described in the law scroll of Moses, it was made with uncut stone, untouched by iron tools. They offered burnt sacrifice, and Joshua inscribed on the stones a duplicate of the law written by Moses. And then that day, the law of God was being read to the entire people. So applications. Be wary of secret sins. When Pastor Jack preached last week, he said, your sin will find you out. And that is true, folks. So we talked about being made in the image of God during VBS. Being made in the image of God. What does that mean? And I think, when I was growing up, people said, oh, we have a built-in sense of morality in us. I don't think that's true. I think being made in the image of God, what is God? 1 John says God is, you can say it, L-O-V-E, love. God is love. When we are being made in the image of God, we are made to be a loving being. Who should we love? We should love him, and we should love others. We should keep his creation and work on this planet. That was the intention of the creation. But then sin came into the world, and suddenly it shifted. So this is the place was Eden for Eve, and the place was Jericho for Achan. They saw. Eve saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant for the eyes. Achan saw the spoils, goodly garments from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and 50 shekels of gold. The covetousness came. Eve desired the tree to make one wise. And Achan said, I coveted them. And then the action came. Eve took the fruit, ate it, shared it with her husband, and hid herself. Achan, he took, he hid them, and then he hid himself among the tribes of Israel. The lesson, be careful what you love. Be careful of what you love. We're supposed to love God and his people. But when Eve saw the fruit that it was good for herself, the allegiance shifted. That is sin, folks. That is sin. And what we love, we will pursue. Be careful of what you love. Whether it be money, whether it be our families, whether it be unauthorized or improper images, be careful. Your sin will find you out. And then confession. Confession might come too late. Let's look at Rahab and Achan. And this is a lesson on God's grace and justice. So Rahab, she came from the tribe of Jericho, the notoriously evil people that God cursed. And Achan came from the tribe of Judah, the tribe with pedigree. The background, Rahab was a prostitute. She was a harlot. She was an improper woman. Achan, on the other hand, oh my goodness, the pedigree of Achan, right? Son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, son of Judah. Notice the act of Rahab and Achan. Rahab lied. There's no sugarcoating it. She lied. She committed treason against her own country to save the Israelite spy. Achan, he was a thief, and he disobeyed a direct order. But the result, Rahab saved herself and her entire family, while Achan condemned himself and his entire family. The lesson, yes, God's justice is terrifying, but God's grace is beyond your imagination and my imagination. But remember this, confession, your confession might come too late. So another application. Overestimation of success often leads to underestimation of present situation. Just like when they were on the top of the hill, we took down Jericho. By we, I mean God. And then, don't tire the entire army. They're still partying over the success of Jericho. Let's send 10% of people. So underestimation can lead to an ambush. So what are we supposed to do as a church, as a family? Let's take from the smaller scope first, the family. Your story might be the coming of age story. You had nothing during your childhood. You work hard and you become successful, and your children now live with in prosperity. But remember what happened to Achan. Three generations of prosperity, three generations of high pedigree, respected members of the community, and then come the troublemaker. We should watch out for that. Parenting is hard. So confess your sins to one another. James 5:16. The same thing in church. Before what happened to Achan and the Israelites in Ai, we, Water Dam Church, let us confess our sins to one another. Let us judge one another. This is a bit of a conundrum. So 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4 to 12. This is about judging the insider. So Paul said in verse 12, "For what I have to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside, but purge the evil person from among you." Well, what about Matthew 7? Matthew 7, yeah, there is no Matthew 71. It's Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6. So Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6, this says, "Do not judge." That is the most misinterpreted command in the Bible. It says, "Do not judge." But the issue there is not the judgment. The issue there is judging with hypocrisy. You know, take out the block from your eye before you see the splinter on your brothers. It's about the standard in which we are to judge one another. And the standard is grace. We have been judged in mercy and grace, so we should extend the same judgment whenever we do that. And Galatians 6:1, "If sin is found, we should focus on spiritual restoration. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So judge one another, but judge with mercy and grace." And then rebuke. 1 Timothy 5:20. "As those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear." So my professor told me that the New Testament shed light into the Old Testament. What Paul said here in Timothy, if we go back to Joshua 7, is right there. It's right there. Rebuke those in public who sin persistently so that fear may spread. This is fear of the Lord. The Lord's justice is terrifying. Weed out those sins, those secret sins. Confess and be forgiven. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, the Lord is faithful and will forgive you and restore you. And forgive one another. Matthew 18, right? Classic story of the evil servant who won't forgive. Forgive one another. And then turn trouble into hope. Whose job is it? Not ours. It's the Lord's. Hosea 2:15. "He will turn the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, into hope." We don't stand a chance. The enemy is prowling at us, trying to find an opportunity to defeat us using our own sins. But this is why we band together. This is why God created this institution called the church. We are the bride of Christ. And Christ is here to give us restoration and hope when we do fall, when we get ambushed. And that is the hope that I want to leave each and every one of us this morning. Being ambushed, by definition, means that being attacked from a blind side, it happens. Whether we underestimated the situation, whether we overestimated the situation, it will happen. But when that happens, we turn to the Lord. And the Lord is a God who says, "Do not be afraid and don't panic." He will turn the valley of Achor, the valley of Achan, the valley where Achan died, because he brings trouble into the hope that is in Jesus Christ for forgiveness. But in the meantime, let us confess our sins to one another. When we leave it out in the open, we say, "I have no shame in this." And when the shame is taken out of the equation, that's when restoration begins. That's when forgiveness begins. And this is the community. This is the community that God created for that purpose. Let us pray. Lord, we tremble in the face of your judgment. You hated sin. You hate sin so much. But you love us more. And you give us your Son to die, to take our place, that we may gain eternal life. We as the church do not want to prostitute, do not want to waste that grace. Help us. Help us to weed out the sins, the secret sins from this place. Help us to forgive one another. Help us to look to you for restoration. And in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, the Lord is good, and he is good all the time. Amen. May the love of God the Father and the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the fellowship, enablement, and help and encouragement from the Holy Spirit be with us all until we come face to face with him. And all God's people say, amen. Have a great week, folks.